Back to Brian Wilson and the Afternoon Drive on the Talk of Toledo, 1370 WSPD.
4:36, 24 minutes in, 5 o'clock. Third half of the show officially underway, and move right along. We've been talking about selling Toledo, selling the area. Had a little chat with the union guy, the union thug, and of course your money and all the rest. So let's move along here. Of course, it's not so much in the news anymore. It's almost as if they wanted to move it on out. Let's kind of just move this out of here. Don't stand around. These are not the droids you're looking for. All the rest of that business. Referring, of course, to the offing of Osama Yomama. Everyone is just so thrilled about that. They're just jumping up and down. But there is another side to that coin that I think bears some examination, especially considering the fact that, we're American citizens. This is a republic. Cornerstone is the rule of law, that kind of thing. And we've got a government that's not too uncomfortable about operating out of bounds in that area. When that type of thing happens, one of the first things I do is reach for anything, something I can find, written by Jim Bovard. As you know, Jim and I go back a number of years. Right behind me is the entire Jim Bovard library of fine books that includes Lost Rights, The Destruction of American Liberty, Attention Deficit Democracy, which we had several copies to give away here on the show not too long ago. And every once in a while, we huddle up and actually talk to the man himself. He's on the other end of the phone right now, Jim Bovard, here on WSPD. Hello, James.
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
Doing all right. Was doing a lot better today when I got a copy of a Christian Science Monitor article, Assassination Nation, Are There Any Limits on President Obama's License to Kill? You know, I remember when I was, I guess it was high school, college, when the Ian Fleming's James Bond books all started coming out, that 00 prefix. You know, I never quite thought that it would be attached to the Oval Office.
Well, you know, it's great to see progress. I mean, it is fascinating to see how much power the president can now claim, and there's so little controversy, and there's so few legal challenges, and federal judges make it almost impossible for a person to challenge in order to get that the government wants to kill them until after the government's done. Then the government's got sovereign immunity. So it's amazing to see how few breaks there are on the federal killing machine.
Yeah, well, it's like we're in some sort of a constitutional cul-de-sac when it comes to who's responsible for what. We've talked about the War Powers Act and declaring war, and not a whole lot going on there. But as you point out in your piece, this is something that every American citizen should stop and think about, in as much as you're an American citizen, when you pose the question, how much evidence should the U.S. government be obliged to show before it kills you? And according to the research that Jim has done, the answer to that one is C, none. But delve any further, and as Jim just mentioned, things suddenly get very secretive. The fact, as you brought out in the article, the ACLU, which most conservatives can't stand anyway, went after these are the stories that don't make the news. But if you read Jim Bovard's piece here, you'll find that the government got a lawsuit by the American Civil Liberties Union that sued to find out just exactly what the standard was, the legal standard that the government uses before they put the crosshairs on you and pull the trigger. Apparently, the lawsuit didn't work out too well, Jim.
Yeah, what the Obama administration did was say it was a state secret as far as the standards it used to target Americans for killing. Okay, there might be a few state secrets necessary that even a hardcore nutcase like me would admit. However, when the government claims it doesn't have to disclose anything about the standards it uses to put Americans' names on a list for killing abroad, I mean, and this is not for indictment, this is not for a search, this is not for a subpoena, this is a death list. The Obama administration says it needs to do nothing, disclose nothing on that. Unfortunately, they found the federal judge who agreed with them. The federal judge said there are circumstances in which the executive's unilateral decision to kill a U.S. citizen overseas is judicially unreviewable. It sounds complex, but actually it's real simple. It basically means that the judge says, you know, it's up to the White House to kill who it chooses.
Well, does the overseas aspect? I mean, is that what we're gonna hang our hat on for this, or could the same, dare I say, privilege be exercised here on terra firma?
Well, the Obama administration, like the Bush administration, has talked about the entire world being the battlefield in the war on terror. There's no subtle distinction on this. And if you think back, when George Bush announced his he was canceling habeas corpus in November 2001, when he said that he had the authority to to label someone a enemy combatant or an illegal combatant and have them detained forever, Bush's team were stressing that, well, this only applies to foreigners, it only applies abroad. You know, 6-7 months later, you have Jose Padilla, an American citizen, come into Chicago, the feds grab him, and then all of a sudden, it turns out that this also applies to American citizens grabbed here in the U.S. And there is no reason not to expect that this, that the Obama claim, to not also be extended here to the U.S. in the same way that the Bush power was.
Well, we've managed to throw some people in jail, and not to give them any rights whatsoever. Even if they're soldiers in the U.S. Armed Forces, they can be stripped naked, stuck in a cell someplace, and cut off from all human contact, solitary confinement, and so on, just because.
Right. Well, I mean, and it doesn't help that you have President Obama, you know, saying at a public gathering that Bradley Manning was guilty. I mean, this is the same thing which Richard Nixon did back, I think, I've forgotten the case. Was it the Charles Manson case? It was back in your time.
all right, thank you.
Sorry, it was a cheap shot.
Yeah, that's all right.
I mean, there was a big controversy over that, and you had Obama coming out and saying that Bradley Manning is guilty. And keep in mind, it's the Pentagon, it's Obama's people that are preventing Manning from getting a trial, especially a speedy trial like he's supposed to get. Instead, they, you know, I guess that they want to work on him for a while to see if he breaks down completely.
Well, that enhanced interrogation technique we've heard so much about?
Yeah, I mean, from what I've heard, Pentagon has not used the full litany of tricks up its sleeve, but a lot of the stuff that they have done on Manning already apparently would violate a lot of the international standards for if not interrogation.
Well, a lot of those toys are still being housed down in Guantanamo, so it's probably difficult to get access to them.
I think they've probably got lots of them around.
You think? Yeah.
Yeah.
But let me get back to, I know you're not a spokesman for the ACLU, but why, in the face of Judge Bates' ruling, would the ACLU, considering the information they were attempting to extricate from the administration, why didn't they appeal that, or is that not appealable?
I think that they have appealed it. I mean, this is not a case the ACLU has dropped. This is one of those areas the ACLU has done great work, and it's kind of funny that folks would say, well, you know, it's funny that there'd be any controversy about trying to find out what standards the U.S. government uses to decide to kill American citizens without a trial. I mean, this is something which I would hope that almost everybody could agree on, except for maybe, well, no, almost everybody could agree on. But instead, I mean, not only is there controversy, but you've got a federal judge thwarting it, and you have the Obama administration officials touting doctrines that give the president absolute, almost unbounded power to kill. And yet that's supposed to make us safe.
Yeah, oh, I feel so much better. Let me ask you, you cited May 11th, the House Armed Services Committee passing a defense reauthorization bill that had kind of a sort of provision in there entitling the president to attack Al-Qaeda, Taliban, and associated forces, things that people wouldn't get too upset about. But it also picked up on the executive branch being able to define these associated forces, quote unquote, any way it pleases. So here comes John Conyers from right across the state line here in Michigan. He's not too thrilled. And you point out that dozens of members co-signed Conyers' complaint Is that patented Bovard sarcasm there? I just got to ask you. I can pick it up when we're talking, but you know sometimes I get lost.
It might have been one van full. It might have been two vans full. I'm not sure. But once again, there have been so many abuses going back almost 10 years on both parties, on both the presidents, on how this power has been used. And yet you have the Congress. It's strange to have the GOP wanting to give a Democratic president an even bigger blank check.
Yeah. What about that, though? This whole business of it's not mission creep. It's like constitution creep, where the legislative branch, is continually ceding authorities and privileges and responsibilities to the executive branch, which is, that's not what the founding dads had in mind. Otherwise, they just would have stuck with King George, right?
Good point. Part of the trouble is that so many of the members of Congress of both parties seem to act like they were born to bootlick, because they don't have any courage in challenging witnesses from the administration. It doesn't matter if it's a Bush or Obama. I mean, they are so deferential. But part of it is that most of the congressmen are as ignorant as the average voter. And not only that, but they're spineless, because they are terrified of being called soft on terrorism or soft on this or wrong on that. But a number of the ones I've talked to don't know their backside from the hole in the ground as far as the issues.
Well, it certainly is, and that, which is really kind of a shame considering the similarities. But I'm also thinking there's also the concern about re-election, and I guess if you off a lot of responsibilities to somebody else so you don't have to make any hard decisions, then it makes it a lot easier to go out and ask for somebody's vote because you showed up for work and voted present and you didn't do anything bad. I like that born to bootlick. I'm going to see if Steppenwolf is still around. We might be able to get a redo.
It'd be a great theme song for Congress.
It would be. Because they could play it. President's got Hail to the Cheap, and we could use Born to Bootlick for those guys.
Because it's amazing how few members of Congress of either party have the courage to stand up against these abuses of power. As you said, this is what the Founding Fathers expected Congress to do, but instead they're just busy getting reelected and stuffing their pockets with campaign contributions. But as far as I know, most of the members have not run up a $500,000 bill with Tiffany's.
No, that not that you know of.
I guess you hadn't heard that story today.
Yes, I have. I was trying to ease things out here a little bit. Getting back to your piece for just a second here, with regards to this mission creep concept, or the idea that it was kind of like with some of the things we discussed when the Patriot Act came out, and people were just all agog, what a wonderful thing. I mean, if you have nothing to hide, if you have nothing to fear, all the rest. But now, and as you were somewhat prescient in analyzing that, I said, even if this president doesn't abuse it, this law is going to remain on the books when the next dude or dudette takes over the Oval Office. And now you've got the same thing here. If these precedents, if these constraints or lack thereof are allowed to continue to exist, then we may arrive at a time very shortly when you get somebody in the Oval Office, you don't want to have that 00 prefix in front of their name.
Well, I mean, there's nobody in that Oval Office I'd ever want to have that power in their name. But people forget that there's no limit. There seems to be little limit now on the making of enemies list. I mean, we have little idea what the feds are doing. The feds don't have to disclose the standards they use for adding people's names to these lists. And I would be concerned that so many people and so many members of Congress are so deferential as soon as the government calls somebody a terrorist or a terrorist suspect, that if the government takes them out, then it's going to be safe, that people are going to assume that's automatically a victory for freedom.
Well, look on the bright side, Jim. At least now we know that Winston Smith has done his job on transparency.
There you go. Yes, it's amazing to think back to the campaign rhetoric in 2008, and I was hearing from Democratic friends and how everything's going to be great, and I'm just thinking we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I, as always, I always appreciate your keen eye and keen keen writing on this, and anyone can grab a copy of Christian Science Monitor. We're going to throw it up at WSPD.com, and or you can always drop over and see Jim Bovard's blog, which is always kind of exciting with some of the things they put up there, and snappy repartee going back and forth. And we'll look forward to visiting you over there after the show is over.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. Thanks for raising this issue, and thanks for raising hell and freedom.
It's what we do, Jim. Thanks a lot. Appreciate your help and giving us the ammo to do it. Jim Bovard, the book Attention Deficit Democracy, or any one of the ones that Jim has penned out there, grab them, read them, learn, have a good time. This number right here that I'm looking at that we're talking about is in the Christian Science Monitor today. There at csmonitor.com. But great stuff. The Assassination Nation. Are there any limits on President Obama's license to kill?